Shischa in the Parsha, he's probably watching. Shischa in the Parsha. For Parshas B'Shalach, there's so much in Parshas B'Shalach. I feel like sometimes you look at Parshas B'Shalach and there are three Parshas inside of it. You have the beginning of the Jewish people actually eating Mitzrayim and then the Mitzrayim, chasing after them. Then you have actually Kriyas Yamsuf, and I guess Az Yashar goes along with that. And then you have the Mun, which is a whole issue unto itself. And then you have the water coming out of a rock. And then you have, is that this week?
Yeah. You have water from rock and then Amalek.
No, you're saying Slav. Slav is later on when they complain about it. No, that's in Balos, I think. And then there's the rock, and then there's also Amalek at the end of the parsha. There's so many different themes happening all in the parsha. There's so much to talk about. I always have to watch, keep an eye on the clock, Parshas B'Shalach. Not just because of the parsha, also the Haftorah with Devorah and Balak is also a long Haftorah. So we got to get our laners. Is Avi here this week? I don't know. Either way, he usually does that. Avi does B'Shalach usually. Okay, it's going to be like 11:30. No, I know. We'll see. But the Sfas Emes says at the beginning of the Parsha, I said over a joke from Rabbi Danny Rapp, who's a rabbi at Rosh Yeshiva YU. So it says in the Parsha that Vayhi B'Shalach Paro es Ha'am V'lo Nachem. Paro sent out the whole nation except for Nachem. Really what it means is V'lo Nachem Elokim. Hashem did not allow the Jewish people to go Derech Eretz Plishtim. He didn't allow them to go the way of the Philistines in that direction. Why? Ki karavu, because it was closer. What does that have to do with anything? Why can't they go the easier route? So says Rashi, another Mefarshim, because if they would have gone the easy way, it would have been just as easy to come back. Hashem wanted to take them away. That would basically make it so that they're not going back to Mitzrayim. They tried later on in the parsha, like Chris Townsend. They tried. Why don't we go back to Mitzrayim? It's going to be better. Chadam and Abdas is trying. Right, let's go back to Egypt and just worship there. And at least we won't have this fear and survival issues. So Tzfas Emes says, why is it, in a different direction, why is it that Hashem said you can't go this way because it's Karov? You have to contrast this pasuk with the nature of Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. Yetzias Mitzrayim, as the Jewish people came out of Egypt, was instantaneous. Ki b'chi pazon, right? The Jewish people came out very quickly. So now all of a sudden we can't go quickly. We can't take the fast track. The whole time we came out of Mitzrayim, the whole thing with the matzah was because we left so quickly. We left so quickly, and therefore, the bread didn't have time to rise, etc. We have matzah, fine. So then why do we have to go the karov way? Why can't we go the fast way out through the place of the pollution too? If we're going to go fast one time, let's go fast the other time. Says the Tzfas Emes, that's exactly why we can't go fast. Yetzias Mitzrayim, Hishoresh Kol HaGeulah. That Mitzrayim is itself, with all the different aspects of it, is the paradigm for all future redemptions. What does that mean? L'fikach, Gam Derech Tzeischa Mitzrayim, Hisema L'doros HaBaim. It's also symbolic for the future generations. Min hashamayim ratzu. From heavens they wanted that Shebnei Yisrael yedu lavor gam bidrachim rechokos. That Hashem wanted to teach the Jewish people that there are also times that redemption will take a long time. Redemption will not be swift, easy, and quick, but it will instead be from a distance. Leman yitraglu lederachim lo derachim, so that they get used to going in places, going in directions that aren't really the best direction. Derachim lo derachim, paths that are not paths. Yeshamish lehem hadavar achar kach l'nisayon b'masoseihem v'nidu nidodehem v'mishole hagluyos hameshubashim. A mouthful there, but it will be ultimately a test for the Jewish people when galus is difficult. When it looks like it's not ki karov, it looks like it's not happening anytime soon, it looks like from the last 2,000 years it's going to take a while. That's also, we need a paradigm for that kind of geula too. We need a model for what it means to take the long way around. And that's what the Tzfas Emes says is the symbolism of this part of the geula Mitzrayim. The first part was swift. Yes, sometimes geula can happen quickly, but sometimes it goes slowly and it takes a long time. That's why Hashem didn't want to go Derech Eretz Plishtim, because it was Karovu. And he's trying to teach the Jewish people that sometimes Geula and redemption is not Karov, it's not quick. And it'll take a long time. Also worth noting how it's that time distinction comes up later on by Matan Torah, right? When the Jewish people are supposed to get the Torah, how long is it supposed to take? 40 days and 40 nights. All of a sudden, the Jewish people can't take it anymore. How long did it take them to make the Egel Hazav? A morning, right? Within a couple hours, they had a golden calf together. Sometimes you have to be willing to take the long way and to make sure to realize that sometimes the most 6 hours, maybe a little less than 6 hours, the most important things sometimes take time. And that's why you shouldn't jump to the next good thing, even if it's taking a while. You should hold out because redemption is sometimes long-winded. The pasuk by the Mun tells us that leman anasenu, that Hashem is testing us, anasenu, like a nisayon, a test. In what ways is it a test? Hayelech b'torah siyim lo. Are you going to walk in the ways of the Torah? In what ways is the Mun connected to the Torah? So Rashi tells us, based on the Pesukim, you're going to have to take only once a day, and you're going to have to take it, beforehand on Shabbos. You're going to take double, but don't go out on Shabbos. Al yetzi ish mimkomo, which is the source, potentially, of tchum doraisa, if you would hold it as doraisa from this pasuk, that you're not allowed to walk a certain distance outside of the city. Nowadays, we have less of a problem with that because our cities are so populated that, for us to walk outside of the tchum would probably take us days just to get the halachic, to that halachic distance. But the point is, these are the laws that Moshe Rabbeinu was giving to the Jewish people, through Hashem, obviously, that they were supposed to keep. And that's one way of understanding the test of the mind. But says the Sfas Emes, again the Sfas Emes, I looked for the Sfas Emes inside, I couldn't find it. Here's a different idea from the Sfas Emes, which is inside. Sfas Emes here. Uchsiv v'yancha v'yarivecha. That later on in Devarim, Hashem is going to tell, or Moshe is going to recount how Hashem told the Jewish people, I'm going to starve you and torture you and then give you the Mun. That's what it says. Vaya'ancha, right? We know the word inoy from Yom Kippur, right? The difficulty of Yom Kippur. Vayar ivech, like the word ra'av. Ra'av is a famine. Okay. Vaya'achilcha as haman, and then I will give you the Mun. Says the Sfas Emes, you know why Moshe Rabbeinu recounts what's going on in this week's parsha like that? Nosnin shevach gam al ra'avon. Moshe Rabbeinu is giving praise for the famine. We have to be grateful for the famine. In what way? Ha'inyan hu ki bevadai lefi madregas hamazon, kach hi haravon. Maybe some people here understand this better than others. But to the extent that the food is going to taste good, that's how hungry you'll be for it. Right? And if it's a juicy steak, so you'll salivate more beforehand. And if it's, peanuts, so okay, fine, I'll get to them, right? How much, I always think about this, how much food do you have in your pantry? And you're like, I don't want to eat that right now. Right? Go shopping when you're hungry. Yeah, exactly. Always a dangerous task. But as some people like to say, I know Lieb likes this one, if the kids don't like the food, he's like, okay, I guess you're not hungry. If you were hungry, you'd want the food, right? So hunger is tied to how much you want the food. So that's what it's saying here. Bivadai lefim madregas hamazon kachu haravon. Depending on how much you want the food, that's how hungry you'll be. V'yesh ladas. And you should know, al telunas b'nei Yisrael hamis kol kahal barav. Right? When the Jewish people are complaining, you're going to kill all of us with famine. V'chilu yadu ki Hashem yisbarach. Notes in lechmo kobasar. Do the Jewish people not know that Hashem is going to take care of them? Did they not just witness what happened in Mitzrayim, that they were taken care of? Right? So why are they complaining? They think Hashem is not going to do it? The gam lo nizkar b'krush lo haylam lechem. It doesn't say that they didn't have bread. It doesn't say they didn't have food. What does it say? It says they didn't have water. They didn't have water. But maybe they had food. V'yitachem the farish says the Sfas Emes kanal. Shehir gishu ra'avon. Why is it that they were complaining? Because they felt hungry. Even if they had food, they felt hungry. Achar shelo hayu yecholim l'hafik ritonim b'lechem agash mi'i. They couldn't fulfill or sustain, or satiate, I should say. They couldn't satiate their desires with the bread alone. Later on in history, in the L'Asid level, we will say, Lo Rav Lechem, I think there's a Devekas song to this pasuk. Lo Rav Lechem, Milo Tzam Alamayim. No one sings that song. I don't know, I don't remember. N.T.S.Y. sings that song, really?
A long time ago.
maybe.
That's an oldie.
Yeah, it's an oldie. I don't know if they're saying it anymore. I mean, I didn't, that's why they didn't, but maybe some do. I don't even know how the song starts. How does the song start? Yeah, beautiful song. Tzvik is so nice. Anyways, so lo rab lo lechem. In the last level, we're not going to be hungry because hunger is tied to how much you need food, how much you're desirous of food. If you're not desirous of food, so you're not going to be hungry. I mean, you'll eat to be satiated, to live. But rather, ki'im l'shmo as divrei Hashem, what are you going to be hungry for? To hear Hashem's Torah. That's what we're going to be hungry for. Because that's what we're going to desire. V'heishiv lehem Hashem yisbarach, ki tefi hara'avon hazem u'chan u'kabo mazon. To the extent that you're hungry, you'll also be satiated by the food. V'hu lechem min ha'shamayim, this is bread from heaven. Hashem is going to give food to the extent that a person needs. And therefore, anyone who desires and is thirsty for water, shehu haTorah, obviously, right? That in the water is representative of Torah. So then, mashvia elav Hashem yisbarach lahafik yisronim b'zeh. So then Hashem will fulfill the person's desire in that way. And that's what it means. And this is actually a big chiddush. Someone reminded me of this drasha a few months ago. When we say, Posech HaSadacha, Hashem opens up his hands, U'masbiya l'chol chai raton. What does it mean, masbiya l'chol chai raton? He satisfies every will, every person's will, every living creature's will. So says the Sfas Emes, I believe what he's saying is ki im mashihu ritzono. I'm not sure 100% what he's saying, but I know that this is a drasha, and this might be what he's saying also when he says this, that not only does Hashem satisfy us when we have a ritzon, not only does he fulfill that which we want, but also he satisfies us by giving us a ritzon. Masbiya l'chol chai. He satisfies to every living creature a ratzon. Not that he fulfills the desire, but that he gives us that desire. In order for us to feel fulfilled, we need to have that desire. We need to have that thirst and that hunger. If we don't have that hunger, we won't feel fulfilled when we feel it. It'll just be food going down the throat. Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, there's something to be said for, you know, if you have too much, then you don't have a drive to keep going. There is something to be said for that. I like to think about this in terms of the, perhaps what someone would call the Socratic method, or the fulfillment of curiosity. The best way to learn is by having questions and then trying to figure out the answers. And there are wonderful studies about this. I think I read one study in Gilbert's Stumbling on Happiness. I think his name is Dan Gilbert, but that is also the name of an MBA owner, so I'm not 100% sure if I'm getting the names mixed up. Either way, his name is Gilbert. But in his book, Stumbling on Happiness, he talks about how they offered a person, do you want to know 10 facts about this random thing, or do you want a chocolate bar? And everybody obviously takes a chocolate bar. Then they tried a different group of people. They asked them 10 questions, hard questions. They did not give them the answers. And then they said, do you want the answers for these 10 facts, or do you want the chocolate bar? And they all wanted the answers. Because when you create that curiosity, when you develop that thirst for knowledge, there's something, you know, profoundly satisfying about getting the answers to things that you don't know. When you have a void, when you don't have something, so you always want to fill it. Dan Gilbert is, right? It's not the same guy, I don't think.
Is it a play on words about
he satisfies a person by giving them the desire for something. I mean, you can't feel satisfaction unless you have a desire. So how is it that he gives us satisfaction? By first implanting within us the desire.
Okay.
You get it? That is the satisfying part of it, that he gives us the desire. if we didn't have the desire in the first place, we wouldn't be satisfied when we fill it. But he enables us to be satisfied by giving us the desire. It could be a play on words. There are different ways you can translate it. Lastly, I thought this was such an interesting insight. I never thought about this scene in this way. The Me'ashiloh talks about Dasan and Avirim. What do Dasan and Avirim do this week's parsha? They what?
Oh, they're
the rabble rousers. Okay, they take extra money, right? And they leave it over till the morning. And it says, Vayosir menu ad boker. They left, Vayosir anashim mimenu ad boker. And people, Dasan and Avirim, left over some money. And what happened to it? Vayaram tolaim vayivash. Right? And the worms came into it, and it became, stinky or putrefied, vayivash. This is an unbelievable drasha. I saw this, I read it like four times. Ha'inyan shehuram tolaim vayivash, the concept, or this theme, this idea, that worms came into it, vayivash, and it became stinky. Moresh shehaya bahem, Anava pesula uba'usha. The word vayivash means like stinky, but oftentimes tolaim, right? What tolaim represents a certain humility of a person, right? What does it say? If you think you're great, so just think about dalamala asid mimcha, right? What is it? Din v'tolaya or something? Rima v'tolaya. Good. Right. Okay. So the point is that if you want to feel humbled, if you want to humble yourself, so you just think that in the end of the days you'll be like a worm. So says the Me'ashilach, Rav Mordechai Yosef Liner. Kizos yedu kilo yazov Hashem Yisbarach es Yisrael. These people, what did they do when they left over the money? What were they thinking to themselves? Ach mida agasam, from their worries. Pen yered lechol Yisrael man. They thought everybody else is going to get man, but v'lahem lo yarad, lo yeyred. But for them, they're not going to get man. Everybody else is going to get it, but we might not get it. So we're going to leave some over for tomorrow because we're worried we're not going to be zochet to get the man. We're not going to have the opportunity to eat like everybody else. Everybody else is going to get the man, but we're not going to have it. V'zehu anava be'usha. That's what it means. It is stinky humility. That humility stinks. I don't know how he translates it into a more modern colloquialism, but it's a bad kind of humility. Why? A person should never think that they are any worse than every other Jewish person in the world. Such a beautiful drasha. What do these people think? I'm worried tomorrow maybe I'm not righteous enough to get the money. And that's why the worm came. Not because, not only because Hashem said don't do that, but because why do you think so lowly of yourself? Why do you think that you're not worthy to get the money? You're just like everybody else. You're just as worthy of everybody else. You have the same level of dignity coming back to anxiety and loneliness and self-worth nowadays. How many people sort of because of what they see about their friends or the accolades or the Facebook posts of everybody else, they think to themselves, what am I? How bad am I? How terrible is my life? So that's anava be'usha. That is stinky humility. You should never grow to think that you are unworthy of general dignity, but also certainly not. You should never think that you are unworthy of Hashem's kindness and bracha. So in this case, the people that left over the man were signifying this terrible level of humility. To think that Hashem's not caring for them, to think that Hashem is not going to provide for them too, everyone has to be reminded that you are worthy and you are deserving of Hashem's blessings also. Very, very fascinating drasha. We always look at it as Dustin and Avirim. Oh, the rabble-rousers are doing the wrong thing. Maybe these people just didn't think highly of themselves. You look at it a little bit differently when you see that idea, then maybe these are just people we should have some pity on as opposed to punishing. What?
That's probably why they connected so easily.
Maybe there's something there. Bullies are oftentimes portrayed as the macho, egotistical ones, but they're oftentimes more often than not the insecure ones. You're right, insecure and... Right. Right, people that need a mission, people that need to feel important, they'll follow those who say that they can become important by doing something else. Yeah, sure. So anyways, a few fascinating ideas. Hashem telling the Jewish people, Lo nacham elokim derech esvishtim b'kikarov hu, that Geula doesn't always come in an instant like it did when you got out of Mitzrayim. Sometimes it's a slow-moving pace. This Vasemis, we said, talked about how you need that desire in order to feel satisfied. And last to Meshiloch, you should never believe, you should never think of yourself so lowly that Hashem doesn't care about you. Chas v'shalom, Hashem always cares about you. He's always looking out for you, and He will always provide for you. And you should always think of yourself as worthy of that blessing. Okay, Shkayach to Gil for switching it up with some extra, desirous food here. And Mirz Hashem, we'll see what you have next week. If anyone bench, you can... you'll have falafel and shawarma. All right, we'll figure out what we're going to do. Okay, Shkayach, if you want to bench, you can bench.